Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. As we continue to fight for faith, family, and freedom and bring a biblical worldview to bear during a period of time in which the Christian influence in the West has been greatly diminished. And friends, Christian civilization, Western civilization, has been dying a slow death now for at least 100 years. And what we're seeing is just a few remnants of what used to be there over 1,000 years. And so interesting things going on. And as I wrote in my book, Apostate: The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, these philosophers have had huge influence upon the higher education learning centers since Harvard and Yale and Princeton started as Christian seminaries. And because of bad foundations, because the foundations themselves were corrupted in terms of methodology and content, and the bringing in of humanist classical learning, inevitably, of course, Harvard becomes liberal, then Yale becomes liberal, then Princeton becomes liberal, as we have seen the corruption of every single institution of higher learning with, well, maybe there's one or two exceptions out there. Maybe there's two or three Bible colleges out there that have survived the onslaught. But in general, what we see is the majority of Wheaton College professors voting for Barack Obama in 2008. Friends, this is what happens. And it happens again and again and again and again. Until people wake up and realize that red state families should stop sending their kids to blue city colleges. And Danny Craig is in studio with me right now. And Danny, let me tell you this. I think what's happening right now, according to the survey that I'm going to bring out from Pew Research in just a moment, the ironclad hold on the hearts of our young people on the part of higher education is shattering even as we speak, praise God. For the first time in 500 years, or maybe closer to 800 years, for the first time in perhaps 800 years, the ironclad hold on the hearts of our young people on the part of liberal universities, liberal arts universities like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, for the first time in the history of this country, in the history of the Western world, it appears that the ironclad hold on the hearts of our young people on the part of these liberal institutions is cracking, baby. It's cracking. And I couldn't be more
happy about it.
This is a good
day. This
is a great day.
Now, some people are probably saying, now, what do you mean, ironclad hold? Like, what do you think? There's some people that aren't aware of what's been going on in the colleges.
Well, perhaps not, if they haven't read my book, Apostate: The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. But, you know, if you look at what happened with Harvard, Harvard began as a Christian college, as a Christian seminary. And today, you know, in Harvard Law School, of the 200 members of Harvard Law School, there's just two or three or four members of Harvard Law School that opposed the Obergefell ruling that legitimized homosexual marriage and instituted the persecution of Christians in this country. So, you know, that was not happening in the 1650s. You understand?
Yeah.
We've come a long way to the point where 99.4% of Harvard University is completely corrupted and, you know, we don't have the Puritan influence. Now, what happened? Well, it's because the college itself has a wrong way of looking at education and knowledge. They always want to build up a form of knowledge on human reason versus the Word of God. And because of that, it is inherently corruptible.
And I would say if there's probably one institution that has the single greatest impact on the life of a young person after they finish high school, obviously, in shaping their worldview, their perspective of life, it's got to be college. And you might be saying, okay, well, you know, what is the general position of college toward family values? Here's something that is just incredibly eye-opening. Someone wrote on Inside Higher Ed, we need to encourage everyone to be in college for as many years as they possibly can in the hope that somewhere along the line, they might get some exposure to the world outside their town and to moral ideas not exclusively derived from their parents' religion. If they don't get this in college, they're not going to get this anywhere else.
Yeah, and so the idea is that the only way to corrupt them and make them humanists at root, or liberal at root, is to be sure they're in the blue state colleges, yeah, or blue city colleges as long as they possibly can be there. In my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, I talk about G. Stanley Hall and John Dewey and William James, the godson of Ralph Waldo Emerson. These guys were the ones that were corrupt. They themselves raised in Christian households. John Dewey, G. Stanley Hall, et cetera. These guys are the fathers of modern education, modern psychology, modern humanism in the modern universities, and they all attended universities and were corrupted in their universities. Their parents were Christians, and they became apostate by attending university. That's how you get the secular state today. That's how you get the destruction of Christian culture and the Western world. Read the full story in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. But anyway, here's the good news. We need to get some good news. It's changing, yes, for the first time. Just over the last 7 years, it's changed. So after about 800 years, finally, over the last 7 years, according to Pew Research, college has fallen into more disrepute, especially among Republicans. Finally, red state families are getting the heads up. It's time to stop sending your kids to blue state colleges and see your kids utterly corrupted and voting for Barack Obama or some communist in the year 2024. It's finally reached the point at which they find that sending their kids off to these colleges is a waste of time and a waste of money, a waste of worldview, and a waste of children. College has fallen off into more disrepute now. Only 36% of Republicans favor college. That's down from, get this, 58% just 7 years ago. Is that amazing? A 22% fall off finally for Republicans. There are a significant number of Republicans now that no longer respect college in America. Some 64% of Republicans no longer respect college. Only 36% of Republicans favor college, down from 58% 7 years ago. Of course, Democrats are way, way more enthusiastic about college. 72% of Democrats are favoring the left-leaning institution in America. So praise God. Praise God. Finally, red state families are waking up to the reality. And by the way, it turns out that Republicans favor church. Democrats hate the institution of church. Yeah, Republicans 50%, like the institution of church. Well, what are the numbers for Republicans? 73% of Republicans 50, favor church.
50 for Democrats.
But only 36% of Republicans favor college. 72% of Democrats favor the indoctrination centers
called
universities.
Interesting. It's very interesting that Democrats view church the way conservatives view college. Why? Because they're both indoctrination centers.
Yes. Exactly. That's the point. They're indoctrination centers, and they maintain something of a basic worldview.
And generally speaking, for two entirely different worldviews.
Right. And we've pointed out that that there are the ratio of young Democrats professors to young Republican professors in these colleges is 20-1. 20-1, my friends. 20-1. 20 Democrat professors to one Republican professor amongst these colleges and universities. And we've done entire programs on this, pointing this out. And people wonder how in the world their kids go to these universities and turn out even more leftist than their parents. And how in the world each successive generation completely apostatizes from the faith to increase levels with each successive generation. Friends, it happens because of the colleges, the universities, and the methodology is not the discipleship methodology brought in by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next on the Generations Podcast.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Danny Craig also in studio as we talk about college. Increasing numbers of Republican parents, Republican families are disfavoring college. They're discovering that there's something wrong with college. And they discover that for them, it's a waste of time, a waste of money, or a waste of children who are often taken by the wrong worldview. Now, that's not to say that it's not for everyone. Danny, as you know, some parents need to send their kids to college if their kids are going to become doctors or lawyers, or in some cases, engineers or nurses. So we understand that there are exceptions to the rule, and yet college is something of a trap. College has its drawbacks, and more drawbacks than ever, and at some point, it seems that there are so many negatives on the perspective from the perspective of these Republican parents that they just would rather not send their kids there.
Yeah, and when we talk about college, you know, one of the things we mean is the traditional way of doing college. Because part of the problem here is that for so many years we got stuck in this mentality that you had to do higher education one specific way. You find a top school, you send in your best SAT scores, you go live in the dorms, you don't do hardly any life application for 4 years, and there's this formula. Yeah. And the good news is that there's actually more options as to how you do college these days.
Yeah, and I think what we're saying is get out of the box.
Yeah.
We want to exercise and to maximize the liberty that we have. And when you're in the box and somebody says, okay, it's a one size fits all, that's it. That's it's just do it this way, do it the leftist way, do it the liberal way, and that's the only way to do it. Whereas I think what we need to say is that there's a fair amount of liberty in Christ. And we maximize our liberty in Christ, and we don't have to do it one size fits all approach. So let's be sure we understand that there is liberty. There are different ways to do this.
Exactly.
And if you choose college, there are probably other aspects of that child's raising that need to be put into the mix. That is, the world itself is not going to have the entire recipe down straight for the preparation of our young people. Much as Nebuchadnezzar's University was not the perfect place for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
No, I don't think their parents were like, you know, jumping up and down. Yeah. Let's get our kids on the next camel to go off to Babylon.
Yeah.
No.
But they were there. They found themselves there, and the system itself may have required them to be there. And if that be the case, and you're forced into that, then make it work for yourself and find a way in which to make it work. We're not saying that you need to be a vegetarian, but speaking metaphorically, we need to pack vegetables. We need to do it differently. We need to find ways, creative ways to handle this. And every family does it differently. So allow for some liberty for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Then one of the things that really bothers me is that some families become all huffy and puffy about how they're doing it and they want to impose that on others. Or if somebody else isn't doing it the way that these other people are doing it over there, then somehow it's perceived as if they're condemning or judging the others who are doing it a different way. Now, see, Romans 14 applies to this. We need to love one another through this process. Allow for maximum liberty, brothers and sisters. Let's love each other through this, but be sure that you understand that there is liberty in Christ. We don't have to do this the way the world requires us to do it.
I think that's the first way to maximize liberty, is to realize just what you said. We don't have to do this the way it's prescribed to us. And in fact, when we get past that idea, and I think that's one of the things to be excited about, is economic forces are actually pushing us past the one-size-fits-all idea, you know, especially in the tech world today. There's so many different people talking about the fact that of the importance of life experience. And so Get past the idea that there is one way to be successful. And when you get past that, all sorts of options open up. All of a sudden, we can work our way through college. We can do college through distance learning. We can get mentorships. We can get real-life application simultaneous to doing a college degree. And I think those are the opportunities. Those are the freedoms to definitely avail ourselves of.
Here's a CNBC article, and I was shocked to find this. Friends, this is mainstream media, and it's just not Fox News. At one point, Fox News was questioning the issue of college. Why? Because Fox News is a little more red statey, so they smell a bit of a rat in the university. But here is CNBC. Now, not exactly the most conservative mainstream media source, right? CNBC has a great article called Think Twice Before You Go to College. The value of college is a relevant debate, as a college education is now the second biggest expense an individual is likely to make in their lifetime, right after buying a home. So again, friends, the mainstream media is asking the question, think twice before you go to college. Is it really worthwhile? Is it really the best deal? Maybe it's a bad deal. Maybe this is the biggest ripoff you've ever seen. Remember that we're in 7 times more college debt overall than we were in 2000. And as you know, household debt is back up to its 2008 levels, but not because of mortgages. If you look at the reasons why average household debt in America is back up to the 2007-2008 Great Recession levels, why is it up to the levels it was at 2007-2008? It was back down for a little while because Americans got a little more conservative for a little while, and then they began to spend like drunken sailors again. But what were they spending on? They were spending it on college debt. College debt is the largest contribution of household debt increases over the last 9 years, my friends.
According to CNBC, the average cost of attending a four-year private university is now $42,000, triple the price tag in 1990, and the equivalent after taxes are taken out of almost a year's income for a median household today.
Well, there it is. There it is, friends. 7 times more debt, 3 times the cost, adjusted for inflation since the 1980s. 3 times the cost. You're spending three times what you were in 1980 on a college education, and that applies to public education, private education. 7 times the debt, 3 times the cost. And by the way, the pay, and the article brought this out as well, the average pay is the same as it was in 2000. So they said between 2000 and 2007, the average pay straight out of college with a college degree per hour is the same, almost identical to what it was in 2000. So again, my friends, 7 times the debt, 3 times the cost, and you're not getting any increase in the return on investment, which means that the paying off of this debt,
it's a huge problem,
is going to be forever and ever. Amen. Because if you're making the same amount of money, expect to be something at the same cost of living as you were in 2000. It's going to take you a lot longer to pay off that debt, seeing as you are in an average of 7 times more debt than you were in the year 2000.
Which again, brings up the issue of freedom. Are we maximizing freedom doing this the traditional way? And one of the ways that freedom is again getting abrogated is through the debt that you incur by going the standard formulaic approach to college.
And friends, we like to come back to the biblical principles related to education, summarized in my book, Upgrade: The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And what we want to find is a better integration of knowledge and life application and worship. That is, as we raise our kids and prepare them for life, how is our worldview concerning education substantially different than the blue state colleges? And the answer is very, very simple. Deuteronomy 6:7 brings in the prep, the education of our kids, in which we integrate 3 things. We integrate God's word as a frontlet between their eyes. Now, that's not the way that you're taught science, history, etc. in your average public university or even Christian university for the most part. You're not being taught that God, the fear of God, the worship of God, is integrated into the fabric of your children's education through those college years. No, we want to be sure that worship, that integration of character and development of a spiritual condition in your children's lives is so vitally important in the preparation for life, for marriage, and for everything else. Let's be sure that God is integrated. Let's be sure that life is integrated. That is, we teach these things as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. It's an integration into life. It's an integration into worship. It's an integration of parents as well. But mm-hmm. these things are so important. And one of the most important ways in which we can integrate life and spiritual accountability into a child's life or young person's life is by mentorship. And mm-hmm. and again, that's why we come back to mentorship again and again. This idea of just being in the sterile classroom and you hear the lecture, you get the facts pressed into your brain for 4 years or 18 years of education, but never an opportunity to integrate that knowledge into the law office or integrate that knowledge into the farm or integrate the knowledge into a family business or integrate the knowledge into an engineering company. This idea of separating out the knowledge from the life integration creates a knowledge that puffs up, but a knowledge that isn't really good for anything.
You know, I think one of the sad things is we've tricked ourselves into thinking that in order for my kid to be successful, they have to have a professional set of skills. And in order for them to have a professional set of skills, they have to be trained by professionals. They have to go somewhere where they can be with people who are really smart and can give them this special expertise so that they can be successful. But interestingly, what you actually find if you talk with employers is they're still looking for the soft skills. They're still looking for communication. They're still looking for team playing. And in many cases, the areas of technical expertise, especially in today's information age where technical expertise today is not what it was yesterday and is not today what it will be tomorrow, things are changing so fast. They're looking for soft skills. And where can you get those? You can get those with parents, with mentors, with godly men and women in your church who are willing to walk beside you and develop you in those areas.
Let's be sure we're not wasting time, wasting money, throwing good money after bad. Sometimes our kids get involved in a major. They have no idea if they would actually appreciate working in that field because there's been no life application in that area. They've never worked in a civil engineering office. What in the world are they doing? Majoring in civil engineering, my friends, it's craziness. What goes on amongst young people today who are wasting and wasting and wasting time? They're not life integrating the experience as they obtain their knowledge. They're not working it into the work sphere in which a mentor is walking beside them and showing them how to apply their knowledge in a life-relevant manner in the workplace. Friends, we got to find a way to merge our young people into the marketplace in an age in which college is increasingly worthless and extremely expensive. Three times the cost you would spend in the 1980s. Well, mentorship, of course, is a great add-on. And I would say at the very, very least, if you send your kid to college, don't send them to college unless they are in a mentorship concomitantly.
Yeah.
That would be at the very least my recommendation. Whatever you do, add a mentorship to that college
prep. To me, that's the non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You always have a mentorship. Absolutely. You may go to community college. You may get a degree. You may do that degree online or on-site. But whatever you do, you have discipleship. You have mentorship. You have real-life application.
You've got to bring a mentorship into it, my friends. If there ever been a time in American history in which it makes complete sense to prepare your young man or young woman for their life's work and their family economy, it would be now. That now you need to apply something of a mentorship. You know, there's a new book written on mentorship called There Is Life After College by Jeffrey Saligo. I don't believe this guy's a Christian, but he's done a survey that I think is helpful to the discussion today. I just found this online. This is a recent book just published. There's Life After College, a survey of 753 millennials. He broke them down into three categories: the stragglers, the wanderers, and the sprinters. Obviously, working with the fact that 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, they don't have jobs, they don't have a vision for life, they're not getting married, et cetera, et cetera. Just the fact that so many kids are wandering around California trying to find themselves. And so here, Jeffrey Saligo wrote a book called There's Life After College, survey 753. He found 33% of those young people were stragglers. That is, they weren't grown up by 30 years of age, and they didn't have anything of a career. They have no college, no
of their 20s, no trying job. To get their start.
That's right. They never got their start until they got into their 30s. The wanderers got their start sometime after 25 years of age. That was 32% of the population. The sprinters, they were just out of the gate, they picked up on it before they were 25 years of age, and that made up 35% of the millennial population. So 35% of the millennial population.
Okay, so what makes a sprinter? I want to know.
What makes a sprinter? Here's the biggest difference. According to Jeffrey Sligo, in his study of millennials coming out of the gate, the sprinters, the 35% that successfully launched by 25 years of age, the biggest difference for them, get this, Danny, 80% had at least one mentorship. 80%.
Yeah.
That was the biggest difference for the sprinters who got a clue in life coming out of the gate. They were grown up by 25 years of age. Friends, 80% of them had a mentorship. That was the biggest difference.
Yeah. Now, the second biggest difference was, and I think this ties to the first one, 64% were sure of their major when they began. When they had begun.
And that ties directly into what we just said.
Yeah,
if they don't have the life experience,
exactly.
If they haven't actually tried out and gotten into the water and felt out what they want to do in life, forget it.
You know, a lot of people think, you know, I hit 17, 18, and I got to figure out what to do with my life. And the traditional answer to that question, what am I going to do with my life, is you go to college, you talk with a guidance counselor, and maybe after you change your major 3 or 4 times, you'll figure it out. But what this study shows is that those who were successful actually had it figured out beforehand. How did they get it figured out beforehand? Well, I'm going to guess that it's because they were actually doing things in these fields. They were getting life experience. And I just want to make a plug for teaching your kids to learn to work at an early age. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I'm really grateful for that my parents did. My dad was a master at, you know, hey, can my son help you with that project? Can my daughter help you, you know, sew that dress? Can my son help you do that roof? And getting us into all these different life experience opportunities from an early age, that's how you begin to know if you want to eat Mexican, Italian, or some other kind of food, or have this career or that career, getting the experience.
Life integration, one of the most powerful principles, one of the most basic principles that we talk about in Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child.
Now, can you do me a favor and ask me how people can learn to do mentorships?
That's what I was going to do. We've got to get into mentorship. I'm passionate about this. You know it. I think it's going to be the salvaging of future families, the salvaging of future marriages for our daughters and our sons, the salvaging of the future church, the salvaging of business, of economy. Yeah. I think we're going to continue to see the breakdown of entire economies just simply because there aren't enough young people and older people wanting to do these mentorships. So how do we proceed here, Dan?
I'm glad you asked. So, you know, about 8-10 years ago, I was dealing with these very questions. And right at about the age of 20, I had the opportunity to compare a typical traditional classroom college experience with a mentorship. And I realized that, you know, I learned things at college, but the mentorship, hands down, was by far the best at preparing me for that particular area of expertise. And so I asked myself, well, why did I go to college at all? Why did I do the music degree? Why didn't I just try a mentorship approach to music? And the answer was, I didn't really know how to go about it. I needed an A to Z guide on finding a mentor, establishing mentorship goals, establishing the relationship, and providing value to the mentor and getting value in return. And so I said, I still don't really know about a lot about this. There are people who do. What if we set up a filming set and bring some of these experts into a room and ask them how to do mentorship? And that's what we did a few years ago and created the Kickstart curriculum, Kickstart Launch Your Life. And we created a curriculum which is 29 video training sessions with people who will walk you through the whole process of defining life vision, setting goals, and aligning yourself with mentors who can help you achieve those goals. And then there's also a workbook with life application assignments to actually help you engage the process of finding a mentor in your own community and moving toward God's call in your life. And that's available at generations.org.
And one of the questions I'd like to ask is, what would Jesus do, especially at a time in which we see a breakdown of education, a breakdown of the faith, a breakdown of family, a breakdown of our churches, a breakdown of our entire civilization? At times like these, so important to ask, what would Jesus do? What does the book of Proverbs present to us as an approach to the raising of young men or young women? But what would Jesus do? You know, Jesus picked 12. He discipled them. He focused in on 3. He didn't start a college. He didn't have a whiteboard set up in the boat for a couple of reasons. One is that the markers don't do well
when the waves
with water.
Are splashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
So, you know, Jesus doesn't do the whiteboard thing. Is that instructive to anybody? That he doesn't have a classroom, he doesn't have a whiteboard. Does that Does that instruct anybody? Anybody with a sense of what the Son of God, who created the entire universe and knows something about education, does that help anybody? Does Jesus actually share any knowledge whatsoever?
He did have a classroom, and it's called Life.
It is, exactly.
And he did have a whiteboard, and they're called People.
In Mark chapter 3, thank you. In Mark chapter 3, he chose 12 to be with him.
Yeah.
And then he equipped them immediately to teach and to cast out devils. So what you see is life integration. You see a focus on character. What's he doing in the boat? Oh, ye of little faith. Come on. He's focused on character, isn't he? He's focused on character. He's focused on life. Friends, hello? Hello? Have we missed something in the Greek form of education that has been so imposed upon us by the humanists? All right. Well, grab a copy of the book Kickstart. This course is excellent for bringing back the vision of mentorship. I realize it's been gone in the American conception of things for maybe a couple hundred years or perhaps just 100 years. But let's bring it back. And so which would you rather do, Danny? Would you rather throw $40,000 into a couple of years of college for your kid or perhaps $99 or $100 for a Kickstart program?
Start with the $99.
Yeah, I think that's a better place to start.
That's what my frugal wife would say.
Yeah, exactly. So we would recommend the Kickstart program over a college education, at least from the outset. Now, you may need a college education. You may have to add that. But be sure, at the very least, be sure that your children are prepared for mentorship. Get a copy of Kickstart, Launch Your Life. It's a companion guide with 29 powerful training sessions on 4 DVDs. Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Go to generations.org right now for Kickstart. This is Kevin Swanson, Danny Craig in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at NOAAConference.org. That's NOAAConference.org. It's Monday, July 24th, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Charlie Gard's parents have hit another roadblock in their attempt to remove their 11-month-old son from Great Ormond Street Hospital in London for experimental treatment after America offered them permanent residency. According to Life News, Justice Francis of the British High Court said their son cannot be moved to the United States for treatment without a court order, squashing their hopes, according to The Independent. Charlie has a faulty gene which affects the cells responsible for energy production and respiration, leaving him unable to move or breathe without a ventilator. However, Charlie's parents released a photo last week that shows him appearing to look at a toy. The hospital says the boy is blind and cannot move. Charlie's mother told Good Morning Britain that it has been, quote, absolute living hell, unquote, to wait and wonder when the hospital might end his life support. She said, quote, he's our own flesh and blood, and we don't even have a say in his life whatsoever, unquote. The Chinese government has banned members of the country's ruling Communist Party from holding any religious beliefs, reports the Christian Institute. All 88 million registered communists must abandon religion for Marxist atheism or be punished. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Nearly 500 people in Greece and Turkey were injured and 2 were killed as the result of a 6.5 magnitude earthquake, which struck the Greek island of Kos at 1:30 a.m. Friday morning, reports World Magazine. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, resigned last Friday after telling President Donald Trump he vehemently disagreed with his appointment of Anthony Scaramucci, a New York financier, as his new communications director, reports the New York Times. After offering Scaramucci the job on Friday morning, the president asked Spicer to stay on as press secretary, reporting to Scaramucci. But Spicer rejected the offer, expressing his belief that Scaramucci's hiring would add to the confusion and uncertainty already engulfing the White House. Spicer's top deputy, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, daughter of Governor Mike Huckabee, will become the new press secretary. Baron L. Stutzman, the Washington State florist, sued for declining to create custom floral arrangements for a homosexual faux wedding, has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear her case. In their July 14th appeal, Stutzman's attorneys asked the court to consolidate her case with that of Colorado baker Jack Phillips, which the court agreed to hear this fall, reports Christian Headlines. Stutzman will have to wait until the justices return from their recess in October to find out if they will take up her case. Christian radio host and best-selling author Eric Metaxas has accused Teen Vogue of making a, quote, pact with Satan, unquote, by teaching young girls to engage in sodomy in a recently published how-to guide. After the magazine, whose audience is comprised of teenage girls, released the What You Need to Know advice column on July 7th, it received swift backlash. Don Hawkins of the National Center of Sexual Exploitation told the Christian Post last week that the Teen Vogue article is an indication that the, quote, porn culture is completely normalized and mainstreamed, unquote, teaching boys to sexually use girls. 1 Corinthians 6:18 warns, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Pop quiz question. For the millennials, what would you guess is the length of their attention span? According to a new study by ComScore, 18 to 29-year-olds can only spare 5 to 6 seconds before they lose interest. Government officials in Greenville, New York, are under the mistaken impression that parents need to receive permission before they can educate their children at home. In June, a homeschooling family there received a letter from the district's registrar requiring 3 proofs of residency before the district would process their, quote, application, unquote, to homeschool, reports the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Chick-fil-A is making life in the Middle East for soldiers in the Texas Army National Guard more palatable, reports Fox News. After Jesse, a first lieutenant in the Guard, posted on Facebook that barbecue sauce would make their chicken tender night every Sunday tastier, the Founders Square Texas Chick-fil-A sent our brave fighting soldiers 250 packets of barbecue sauce and 250 packets of their delicious Chick-fil-A sauce. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, July 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.